God,
God,
grant
grant
me
me
the
serenity
to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen.
The Simple Actions Group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance today. These premises are non-smoking. Our group is welcome to use this room and the restrooms exclusively. Is there anyone in their first 30 days of sobriety? We would like to welcome you. Okay, on Zoom, you can raise your hand and someone will chat with you. Is anyone visiting from out of town or new to the meeting? Tough crowd. Welcome. At this time, please silence your cell phones. Also, we respectfully ask that those present please refrain from unnecessary moving around the room. This will keep distractions and disturbances to a minimum and allow everyone to listen uninterrupted. Forward to the book, Alcoholics Anonymous. We of Alcoholics Anonymous are more than 100 men and women who have recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. To show other alcoholics precisely how we have recovered is the main purpose of this book. For them, we hope these pages will prove so convincing that no further authentication will be necessary. We think this account of our experiences will help everyone to better understand the alcoholic. Many do not comprehend that the alcoholic is a very sick person. And besides, we are sure that our way of living has its advantages for all. It is the purpose of this meeting to carry that clear message and to focus on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism by taking AA Simple Actions. The format of this meeting is an open big book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book Alcoholics Anonymous. This evening, we are discussing step two. Please welcome our panel tonight, John and Justin. I will read the first paragraph on page 44, and then the panel will share for a few minutes on each of the reading. Step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Page 44. In the preceding chapters, you have learned something of alcoholism. We hope we have made clear the distinction between the alcoholic and the non-alcoholic. If, when you honestly want to, you find you cannot quit entirely, or if when drinking, you have little control over the amount you take, you are probably alcoholic. If that be the case, you may be suffering from an illness which only a spiritual experience will conquer. To one who feels he is atheist or agnostic, such an experience seems impossible, but to continue as he is means disaster, especially if he is an alcoholic of the hopeless variety. To be doomed an alcoholic death or to live on a spiritual basis are not always easy alternatives to face. John?
All right. I'm John Alcoholic.
Hey, John.
It's really great to be here. Let's see. My sobriety date is June 27th, 2012. I have a sponsor. He knows he's my sponsor. He's sitting right next to me, so you're going to get a big dose of truth and lack of embellishment. And I have a home group. It's the West Hampton group. We're a big book step study on Mondays and a 12 and 12 study on Wednesdays. And I do sponsor other men in Alcoholics Anonymous. And I will give a shout out. This is my first home group ever, so it's really awesome to be here. And this is where I discovered the program and listened to you guys, and it really resonated. So I really enjoyed this reading, actually this chapter, more than the previous stuff. When I first came in, I sponsored myself for the first 30 days, and it ended in like a really epic blow up meltdown, ruining family vacation, trying to hitchhike back to Honolulu to catch a flight back to Norfolk to leave my family there. I said, it sucks here. I want to go back to Norfolk where it's cool. And I was drunk. So that's what I was bringing to you guys when I first came in here. And I still, you know, struggled with that control thing. It just baffled me that I could be powerless or an alcoholic, and this liquid could have that much control. And so I kind of liked that sentence in the first paragraph where it's the test. You're like, am I really an alcoholic? And my first sponsor talked to me about this. He read it straight out of there. If when you honestly want to, you cannot quit entirely. Or if when you're drinking, you have little control over the amount you take, then you are probably an alcoholic. And I like that word probably. Not because it was getting me out that maybe I'm not, but it was because I didn't feel like I was being told what I am by a program I was skeptical of. I was just getting to meet you guys. But I was really digging the way you guys were sharing your experience, strength, and hope, because you were talking about things that I never would have talked about with anybody. And so that identification with one alcoholic to another that was in the original reading was huge. And then I was also pretty certain that I was smarter than everyone. And this whole atheist agnostic thing, I was somewhere in between the two. And that last sentence, to be doomed to an alcoholic death or to live on a spiritual basis, are not always easy alternatives to face. I legitimately, thought about that and wavered on it and wanted to debate it with my sponsor. And it only took a few minutes to realize that, like, a normal person facing life or death, doing something that maybe is a little bit uncomfortable for you mentally and emotionally in order to survive is not a difficult decision. But it's funny that I didn't feel like I was alone in really having to weigh that consideration. And then once it was explained to me, just the mere logic behind it, do you want to die doing what you're doing, or you want to try something different? It was that simple. But I couldn't have heard that from somebody that wasn't an alcoholic. I had to hear that from somebody I related to. They drank like me, they did crazy things like me, they thought weird, dark stuff like me. And it made a lot of sense coming out of the mouth of the alcoholic. Pass to Justin.
Thanks, John. I'm Justin. I'm an alcoholic, and thanks, John. Buford Road Group is my home group, and we meet on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. And my sobriety date is February 7th of 2008. It's my third and final sobriety date, just for the record. Third time's a charm, A knucklehead like me can make it. I'm sure anybody in here can. The fact is this: that when it talks about the insanity, and the chaos, that was a normal way of any time after work was like for me. And it says this one thing: if when you honestly want to, you find you cannot quit entirely, or if when drinking you have little control over the amount you take, you are probably alcoholic. And, I didn't honestly want to quit drinking. If I'm going to be 100% honest, because alcohol was the only thing that restored me to sanity. It was the one thing that calmed me and put me in that, in that place where I wasn't worried about tomorrow or disgruntled or upset about yesterday. I was in that happy place, or at least I thought, until I became dangerously antisocial, like it talks about in the book. For me, that was the only normal life. So to consider the other options, it took the first power greater than myself that got me separated from alcohol was jail. And for me, I didn't want to quit ever until it got to the point where, I surrendered, I guess you could say. I finally got sick and tired of being sick and tired. But, I didn't have a problem with the idea of God. I just didn't think God was really favorable of me. So when you talk about atheist or agnostic, I just figured, if there was a God, then, why do all these things happen to me? I didn't think that it was all due to my drinking. I thought that it was just these outside circumstances that made me have to drink to deal with those circumstances. I didn't see the vicious cycle and the insanity of how bad it was the night before, the day before, and then waking up with a bloody hangover and saying, I'm not going to do it today. And then by noon, I'm thinking, well, it wasn't that bad. I think I'll go have a few drinks. That was the insanity. But for me, I needed those few drinks to restore me to sanity. And it took a lot of beating to get me to finally, come to terms, to come to my first meeting through the prompting of a couple of men who saw a white chip fall out of my pocket this last time. And it wasn't so catastrophic. It was one of those maintenance drinking around the clock kind of drinking where, the wheels weren't falling off, but they were wobbling and the tires were flat. It was sort of like just hanging on by a thread. And my physical health had to get to a place where I knew I was down for the count. And when it talks about hopelessness, that's what I had to experience in order to get to a point where something spiritual happened when I went to that meeting and people started shuffling me to different meetings, and I got in front of you guys, and you were the first power greater than me, other than alcohol, that gave me some sort of an inclination that maybe there's another way, and maybe I just missed a few things the first couple of times, and I'll pass.
Thank you both. Thank you. The next reading is going to be on page 45. Lack of power. That was our dilemma. We had to find a power by which we could live, and it had to be a power greater than ourselves, obviously. But where and how were we to find this power? Well, that's exactly what this book is about. Its main object is to enable you to find a power greater than yourself, which will solve your problem. Continuing on page 46, much to our relief, we discovered we did not need to consider another's conception of God. Our own conception, however inadequate, was sufficient to make the approach and to effect a contact with him. As soon as we admitted the possible existence of a creative intelligence, a spirit of the universe underlying the totality of things, we began to be possessed a new sense of power and direction, provided we took other simple steps. We found that God does not make too hard terms for those who seek him. To us, the realm of the spirit is broad, roomy, all-inclusive, never exclusive or forbidding to those who earnestly seek. It is open, we believe, to all men. John.
All right. I understood the lack of power thing because I'd finally been beaten into submission where I realized I couldn't. I mean, it was that point where one day just sitting there miserable on the couch, like I cannot stop drinking and I can't think of living without drinking and I'm screwed. And suicide was an option, but I never gave it too much consideration because I don't like pain and discomfort. So it was like I'm stuck. And but when I see the word power capitalized and these capitalized pronouns and the italics, I'm starting to prepare my argument, my debate. Like I heard somebody there recently that didn't come in here on a winning streak. I suspect most of us didn't, but I come in here with my butt on fire and no solution, no options. It's the last place I want to be, but I'm gonna come in here like a shot caller. Like and tell you everything that's wrong with your program and your reading. And when I start to see stuff about God and higher power, I bristle up. And after some years and some perspective, I think a lot of that was just fear of the unknown. Like it was fear. I didn't believe I had any fear, but I didn't understand God. I figured it always had to do with religion, and I just didn't know. So I think I was scared, and that causes me to close that door of consideration. But that last part we read, saying like, okay, we know you're about to deliver your argument, but just read this part first, and it's our own consideration, our own concept of a God. We don't have to consider somebody else's. And quite frankly, I don't even understand somebody else's God. I think I do. But the reality is, and it talks about things like to us, the realm of the spirit is broad and roomy and all-inclusive, never exclusive or forbidding to those who earnestly seek. It's open, we believe, to all men. It sounded kind of ideal, right? Like this could really exist, but I liked seeing those words like creative intelligence and spirit of the universe because I had preconceived notions that were completely false and baseless. They were just things that I think, therefore they are fact in my head. And this is kind of softening that preconceived idea that I think I know about what it would be like to have a higher power that you're relying on. And so this was the beginning of kind of warming me up to, hey, at least as it relates to the God thing and the higher power thing, you may not know at all what the truth is, and maybe crack that door open to consider. I'll pass to you.
Okay. Justin, I'm an alcoholic, and I just think about, the lack of power and how much that made sense when I finally got in here. I knew that I didn't have the power or the ability to control my drinking. And I didn't have the confidence, or I knew deep down inside that I couldn't promise anything to anyone or myself when it came to not drinking. So why bother? But when I finally came in here this last time, I knew this works somehow, some way, from the first time I came into meetings of Alcoholics Anonymous, when I first got sober, I felt something from you guys that I didn't feel from anybody else that had ever, that I'd had come into contact with, because I guess it was your honesty, your ability to describe your alcoholism that allowed me to see what my problem was. But the power of you sharing your experience with this power that I couldn't understand, hear, see, feel, or touch amazed me, because you can't be an alcoholic like me if you're comfortable in your own skin and you're telling me you're happy to be sober today. Because just, man, it was just not a happy place. But I knew deep down in my heart that, if I was going to find some way to stay sober and that power, I was seeing it and feeling it and experiencing it in here through another alcoholic who was sharing their story with me that I could identify with. I don't know about you, but to me, that was powerful. That was the first connection to something greater than me that I ever felt, was another alcoholic sharing their story. And in a way, it struck a chord with me, because no one ever shared how it felt. The loneliness, the desperation, all those things that I just drank to get rid of. And I just couldn't shake it. It just kept coming back. It was like quicksilver. As soon as I think I got it covered, the next day it just comes back in droves. And you were sharing about how you felt the same way and how you didn't have to live that way anymore. And of course, there was that word God in there, and you were talking about that stuff. And I can read your steps on the wall, and I know I've had a sponsor, and I understand, but for some reason, it takes another alcoholic to get through to me. And I don't know why or how, but that's just the way this thing is it works. And thank God for that, because, no judge, no employer, no girlfriend, wife, parent, loved one, friend could get through to me, and people were telling me I had a problem since I was a teenager, but it was, you've got a problem with my drink and I don't, and it was, that was my attitude. I'm happy with my drink, and I don't know about you, but when it got unhappy, you knew what that was like, and you had the problem solved somewhere, somehow. I could see the light in your eyes, and I'm like, well, what is that? How is that? And that piqued my curiosity, and maybe I can find that power in here. And I can only share that's been what my experience was that drew me in to Alcoholics Anonymous to start, I guess, believing that, no matter how many times I've been a knucklehead and decided to not do this and get drunk and come back and think, well, maybe I can't get this thing. I needed to be kind of scared, because I need to go to any lengths to find that power. And as we go through the steps, we do come into contact and have that experience that those other people were sharing with me. And I'll pass with that.
Thank you. The third reading is on page 47. We needed to ask ourselves but one short question. Do I now believe, or am I even willing to believe, that there is a power greater than myself? As soon as a man can say that he does believe or is willing to believe, we empathetically assure him that he is on his way. It has been repeatedly proven among us that upon the simple cornerstone, a wonderfully effective spiritual structure can be built. Page 568, Appendix 2. Most of us think this awareness of a power greater than ourselves is the essence of spiritual experience. Our more religious members call it God consciousness. Most empathetically, we wish to say that any alcoholic capable of honestly facing his problems in the light of our experience can recover, provided he does not close his mind to all spiritual concept. He can only be defeated by an attitude of intolerance or belligerent denial.
Wow. So this is where I thought I was going to be able to put up this block, or this, my sponsor is not going to outmaneuver my debate here, right? I don't know if I believe. Like, how am I supposed to be able to do that? And the book says it very gently, but the way my sponsor put it to me is like, just stop. Like, how about this? Can you believe that I believe? I was like, yeah, I can do that. He's like, move on. Because I'm looking for any opportunity to pause, to stop. Like, maybe we're overreacting here. Maybe we don't. Maybe I'm not an alcoholic. I don't need this, your 12 steps. But it was just an opportunity. I love the way he put that to me, because it just said, this isn't a stumbling block. This isn't something you can hang on. You got to go. And this is just my experience. I was capable of getting behind that. You know, are you willing to believe that I believe? Yes. And I did the best I could establishing, you know, some sort of connection or belief with a higher power at that time, the very first time I went through the steps. And this is definitely for me, like a long-term run experience type thing. And I had different experiences, and I love listening to other people talk about their concept of their higher power. Instead of just coming at it from the angle of, I'm going to break it down in my mind why their higher power has to be completely wrong and could never exist. It's more like, hey, I like that. Or I like the way they put that. I'm willing to open my mind a little bit. And that's what it talks about in the section of the spiritual experience appendix that we read. He can only be defeated by an attitude of intolerance or belligerent denial. Well, I wouldn't have wanted to admit to that when I came in here, but I mean, that was me then, and that could be me like 50 times throughout the day, every day today. It doesn't necessarily have to be about a higher power or a, it could just be normal daily living and work. And it's, you know, this thing has taught me to pause. I don't always do it. Don't always do it perfectly. I locked my sponsor in a car for 2 hours on the way down here and let him know. But it really is awesome to be able to be open-minded, even if it's not in these rooms. It's easier for me to be more open-minded in these rooms listening to you guys than it is for me to be that way a lot of times at home or at work or with friends outside the program. And talked about this awareness, this power of awareness of a power greater than ourselves is the essence of a spiritual experience. Our more religious members call it a God consciousness. A guy wanted to have nothing to do with that. You know, I thought, again, I come with my own thoughts that it's telling me I got to come in here and get good. Like, I'm going to become some sort of angel, like levitating through life, never doing the wrong thing. And that's just not the case at all. I can still have, you know, an inappropriate sense of humor and all those fun things I like to hold on to. But there's a difference between acting on them and pushing them in your face and really being serious about them. And at the end of the day, having gone through this stuff, I can still bristle the word God consciousness. But when I do something, or I'm about to do something that I've learned was a major character defect, one of them is lying. Like, I didn't tell lies. I told white lies, and they were really for your benefit. So your feelings would get hurt. You wouldn't get stressed out. And it was, you know, I can rationalize all that, but it's a lie. And then when I look at considering a white lie a lie, I'm a pathological liar. Like, I can't even tell the truth, even when the truth is sufficient and it works. I default to something I think would sound better if I tell it to you. And I'd love to say that all my character defects have just gone. Not at all. I still have all of them, but this is one that feeling kicks in. I'm going to call it a God consciousness, where it makes me really uncomfortable what I'm about to say a lie, even if it's a white lie. Hey, I'm sorry I'm late for the meeting. There was bad traffic. And I've found myself like at work unwinding that. Hey guys, I'm sorry. It wasn't traffic. I just woke up late. I'm like, okay, you're being kind of weird. But it's just because it doesn't settle with me like it used to. It was second nature forever. And now, at least that component, lying is it's a lot more difficult for me to stomach and actually do it. And if I do it, I got to clean it up really quickly because it's eat me alive. I'm waiting for that to come for all the rest of my defects, but progress, not perfection. All right, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thanks, John. Yeah, I'm Justin. I'm an alcoholic, and I think about, was I willing to believe when I came in here? And I truly believe that once I'm down for the count, and I know I don't have any more good drinking days left, something in me is giving up, and that hopeless to go back to that hopeless state of body and mind, coming in here without a solution, without an answer, in a hopeless state for me was the best thing that ever happened to me, because it allowed me to kind of be at that moment of, what they call the gift of desperation. And for me, willing to believe in whatever concept you're putting in front of me was better than the hell that I was walking away from. And for me, that was it. I knew I didn't have any more. It was like, I think Bob Darrell talks about how to, it's like trying to jumpstart a party that died years ago and knowing that it's just never going to come back to what it used to be. And I knew that. But coming in here was like, sort of like a game of Marco Polo. I didn't know which way to go. You had to you say, over here, get a home group, and that was the first power greater than myself was being led by the group that I was becoming a part of, because they said, well, if you want me to spot, my sponsor says, if you surrender, if you do the first step, and you truly believe you're powerless, then the rest of the steps are going to fall like dominoes. And I'm like, okay, I'm ready and willing this third time around. And for me, I was lucky. I'm lucky looking back at this time around. I dummied down to the point of just being willing to just take all of the suggestions that were given to me, to the best of my ability. I didn't do them perfectly, but I did, the basic things that normally wouldn't cross my mind, the things that I didn't feel like doing. And it's led to have a life that I didn't think I was possible living. All, none of those ideas came from me or originated from me. So they had to come from a power greater than me, whether it came from you, this book, a sponsor, a moment of prayer, a little awakening. But little by little, it was like little breadcrumbs, were getting laid out before me. The first one was get a sponsor. The second one was like, hey, get a home group. The second was, why don't you get a job in that home group? And that'll make you show up every time they open the doors. And by the way, why don't you show up a little bit early so that way you can let people get to know you? And I'm like, whoa, like that, don't ask me how I'm doing. You're on my resentment list after that, So, I'm a little sensitive, so don't, you gotta take it easy. But over time, being just, it's like jumping in the river, I don't have to go against the flow. I once I'm in, that power greater than me is gonna carry me. And that, so that's what I think really, I don't know if you want to call that the fellowship or the program, whatever it is, when I'm in here with you guys, it's not as bad as when I'm home alone thinking I'm going to sit home tonight and figure it out. I'm going to solve my problems. I don't feel like going to the meeting tonight. I'm too tired. I think I'm going to figure this one out at home, And I've never thought my way in an upward spiral. It's never been like, a moment of positivity after 2 years of me thinking too much, or 2 days or 2 hours. It's like I come out and I'm like exhausted from trying to figure it all out. But coming in here and just doing what you guys did, led me to, strengthen that belief that, whatever it is that's working will continue if I lay into it maybe a little bit more each time. Because, if I'm going to do this, this is going to be, the thing that's going to help me solve not just the drinking, but my thinking. Because, once I put the drink down and 30 days go by and I'm a rock star, I'm a 30-day wonder, I got this. I don't need to go to that many meetings. I don't need to call my sponsor regularly. I feel fine. I already talked to him last week, and I'm starting to run the show again. Well, I get led back into, through the suffering of my own, condition. Because my suffering isn't when I'm drunk or consuming alcohol. It's after I stop and I wake up and I'm like, oof, everything is like nails on a chalkboard. For me, I don't know about you guys, but I have a sober problem, not a drinking problem. It's when I get sober that I need a power that's going to help me overcome my own thinking. Because if I don't think, I do better. For some reason, that's why they say working with others works so well, because it takes the heat off of me trying to figure things out so much, and I can't do enough of that. And I think sponsoring other people, I think, is a power greater than myself, because more often than not, I'm getting shown what needs to be, happening in my own life more often than not. And I'll pass.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Next reading on page 52. We had to ask ourselves why we shouldn't apply to our human problems the same readiness to change our point of view. We were having trouble with personal relationships, couldn't control our emotional natures. We were a prey to misery and depression. We couldn't make a living. We had a feeling of uselessness. We were full of fear. We were unhappy. We couldn't seem to be a real help to other people. Was not a basic solution of these bedevilments more important than whether we should see newsreels of lunar flight? Of course it was. When we saw others solve their problems by a simple reliance upon the spirit of the universe, we had to stop doubting the power of God. Our ideas did not work, but the God idea did.
So it's, when I finally got to these rooms and I said those words and I meant them, I'm John the alcoholic and I cried like crazy man. I started to consider this, like maybe this will work because it's working for them and they're laughing and having a good time as I went through the steps, all these things, these bedevilments it's talking about, those things started disappearing or getting better. And like me being a hopeless alcoholic that can't stop drinking, I was the last person to see it or acknowledge it. My head was just so buried in, okay, I got to get through the steps. I could not see the big picture. But people did point out, hey, you look different, things like that. And it wasn't the absence of alcohol, after 4 or 5 months. It was, I didn't look like I just had panic about the wreckage of the future at all times. And it's funny because, this is only step two. There's some great stuff that we get into when we go through the rest of them and we get through this. And I, in my experience, I make this program more difficult than it needs to be. Like, I'd like to think of myself as a smart guy. And the reality is, I just need to keep it simple. It was years. I mean, I heard it and I would even share it, but it was years before I really realized, like, wait, like, this stuff could apply to all the other problems in my life. Like, it really, people are really doing it. And, I've suffered. Poor Justin's here. Heard me call up like, you're not gonna believe what's happened. Like, this is the biggest problem in the world, and I'm unglued. And he's like, he listens, and then I get the questions of, have you prayed about it? Have you talked to another new person, Alcoholics Anonymous? And I've said the words, well, in sobriety, like, you don't understand, this is a real problem. Like, suggesting that my life has gotten so good and so important that whatever problems I'm dealing with are more important than the fact that I was going to die when I came in here and I was willing to do stuff that I had never considered and didn't believe it would work. And then it works. And the book talks about this. And people were sharing all the time, like, this is a way of living, like, not just to get sober, but as you stay in sobriety. And I will lose sight of that very quickly because I'm not handing it over to a power greater than myself. I am freaking out because this problem, whatever it is, and usually it's not even real, it's what I think is going to happen that never ends up happening. And I need a solution to it immediately. And don't give me the pray and talk to another alcoholic thing. And it freaking works. And then I get to chuckle at myself and get humbled. I had one of those literally today. Like, I am coming unglued. Work is driving me crazy. The whole place would collapse if it weren't for me. Do they understand that? Why are they talking to me this way? And I'm losing it. And wrap up some meetings, go in the car to meet Justin, and the sponsee calls. And I won't lie, like, my immediate thought was like, oh yeah, why is he always calling me so late? Why doesn't he call me earlier? I don't have time for this. I got to get. And I answer the phone, and boom, he's got crazy stuff going on. He's traveling for Thanksgiving with his mom, and his brother's going to meet him. And his brother may or may not be one of us, but he definitely is. And his brother face plants off the plane, smashes his head, and they land on a different flight. And they're talking to somebody at the hospital, like, your brother's drunk and he's got a concussion. Don't know what to, like, the Thanksgiving break is starting off rough. And the funny thing is, he did the exact same thing a year ago. He's 11 months. But I tell you all this because I'm suddenly excited to talk to him about what's going on with him. Like, this is awesome. Like, you got a problem. Let's talk about this. You got experience. This is a great thing. Suddenly, all that stuff I thought about work and all the people that I was literally preparing to punch in the face as hard as I could and tell Justin why I was justified in doing it for the 2 hour ride down here, it evaporated. Like, you know what? As much as I think those problems, those serious problems I have in life today, can't be solved by these simple actions. Oh my God. Like, talk to another alcoholic that, I answered the phone, which I should do. Everybody did it for me. He's got, this is awesome. I am out of me. And yeah, all that stuff at work still exists, but the reality is, it's really not that big a deal. It pales in comparison to what he's got going on right now. And it's all going to be good. And so, I have seen other people solve their problems with a simple reliance upon the spirit of the universe. We had stopped doubting the power of God. Our ideas did not work, but the God idea did. Like, you know what? The same things, the same principles that helped this guy stop drinking. Like, and I drank from the moment my eyes opened to the moment they shut, or I passed out. And if I woke up in the night, I'd drink more to go back to sleep. It was a miracle that I ever stopped drinking. And those simple things that solve that problem solve these, like, really stupid, selfish first world problems I complain about and tell everybody that they're insurmountable. And if everybody would just do what I need them to do, don't you see how work would be better? Like, my marriage would be better. My hunting would be better. Like, all of it. And they're just really not problems at all. And this stuff applies to everything, not just the getting sober part. And I got to be reminded because I'm definitely not perfect. When things don't go the way I need them to go, the moment I need them to go the way I want them to go, I start making up my own rules, taking things back. I'll show them, I'll fix it. And it doesn't work. I just create the chaos that we were talking about in the first reading. And I am not, that last bedevilment, we couldn't seem to be of real help to other people. Like, that's not a motto that I wake up with, and like, oh, how can I be helpful today? I gotta ask for that. I gotta ask God to direct my thinking to that. But I'll be dang, it works every time. If I find a way to be useful or helpful to somebody else other than me, suddenly my life, it's just not that tough. And it's actually, it's not a slug or a trudge. It's a happy walk with all of you. And I don't know. I just got to be reminded of it all the time. I heard somebody say the other night that He's got way more sobriety than me, and but he was sharing that he moves at the pace of pain. And I thought that was really awesome because that tends to be my default sometimes. I mean, it certainly was before I came in here. I wasn't going to come to a meeting or listen to you guys until I was in so much pain I had no other options. But sometimes when I take it back, I'm not going to do the things that I know I should be doing, that I'm telling sponsees to do. I know they work until I have enough pain to, oh, go back to basics. Pretty simple. Let's just do these things. I know I rambled there, so I'll pass it on.
You're good. You're good. That was good. You know, I think about what it takes for me to change my perception, and I'll tell you this one sentence at the beginning. We had to ask ourselves why we shouldn't apply to our human problems the same readiness to change our point of view. And my point of view when I got here was rotten. You know, I was probably the most pessimistic, my own worst critic. But the one thing that helped solve that was you know the first part of our second step came to believe. I had to get out of myself. I had to come here physically, you know, drive to a meeting or however I was getting it, you know, but I had to kind of take the action of getting out of myself. And that's where, you know, the connection in my mind started and still continues, because I could revert back into self, because if my problem is selfishness and self-centeredness, you know, the option I have is to either wallow and stew in my own juices or get out of myself in a way that, you know, maybe, you know, whether I'm connecting with my sponsor and I talk to him regularly. When I say regularly, I call him every morning, just not because I have to, but because I want to, and we stay current. Because I need that change in my point of view almost on a minute-to-minute basis. Because, you know, left up to my own devices, I revert back to that selfish, self-centered thought, like, how are they affecting me? And constantly, you know, monitoring, and maybe even if I'm in a really bad spiritual place, I'm scorekeeping, and I'm a really bad scorekeeper because I'm always winning and you're always losing, and or if you're winning, you should be losing because, you know, this is, you know, this is all about me and you're mistreating me. And I'll tell you, if I want to look at the person who's probably mistreated me the worst, it's myself. And the way my drinking led me to, you know, continually make that insane choice to pick up another drink, no matter how bad it got. So what does it take for me to change my point of view on that? I had to see what your drinking looked like before I saw my drinking for what it was. And that was the power greater than myself that restored me to sanity for at least that hour that I was sitting here with you guys. But as soon as I left this room and I was, you know, at home thinking too much once again, you know, I would think myself into such discomfort that, you know, if I didn't have a sponsor or any of these solutions in place, those neurotransmitters that have connected that relief of getting a few drinks, they aren't dying. They're gonna, that synapsis is there for life. It's like a highway that's been paved over 20 times and the grass is never gonna grow back. It's like they say, you know, if you're once you're a pickle, you'll never go back to being a cucumber. I'm never gonna get over that. You know, if I don't constantly work towards something, you know, that's gonna lead me to solve this problem, eventually, you know, I will stew in my own juices long enough to, you know, my brain will tell me, you know where to get the relief. And thank God, you know, I've stayed on the path and taken these suggestions that's connected me to you, even when I don't feel like it. And I'll tell you, I can say that I've done more things that I didn't want to do in here than I've ever done in my life. And has it paid dividends? Absolutely, because I lost the desire or the compulsion to take a drink. So I guess in that response, I would say the sanity has been restored. but it's a daily reprieve for a guy like me. I don't get to stay still on the down escalator. My alcoholism is, it's like I'm walking up the down escalator. If I'm taking the steps, I'm about even. Once I stop taking the actions, I lose that connection with the power greater than me. I lose that connection to you, and that disconnect between you and God happens like that. For me, it doesn't take much. It could be a new job. It could be money, property, prestige, new relationship. It could be all those. All those things can become a power greater than me, because alcohol was. Didn't I see that happen in my life? I did whatever alcohol wanted me to do, even when it was miserable, painful, and it cost me my money, my relationships, my job. I still went back to it. It was like a bad relationship I couldn't get out of. I kept going back, even though it was the most miserable thing. So for me to be restored to sanity in that respect, wouldn't it work in these other areas that I'm having problems with, these personal relationships, where I can't seem to have a successful life, where I can't seem to pull it together? My finance, I'm always overextended on my credit, I'm always, just everything seems to be upside down and I'm at the bottom, and I, why is that? Why me? Woe is me, self-pity. But it wasn't until I came here and I saw your drinking, your alcoholism, that got me to see it clearly, that I am the problem. And unless I get out of myself and make myself useful to God and to another human being, I'm doomed. I don't have an option three. I've got two options for me, And I had to stick around long enough to experience some, I guess you could call them whatever, blessings or moments of God shots, if you will, where all of a sudden I realized that, it's been 60 days and I haven't thought about a drink. Oh, it's been, or picking up a year and thinking, wow. Thinking about the first couple of days when I walked in here, and how things have changed, and my relationships are getting restored, and my family, I'm back, talking with family, and I can look the world in the eye. Maybe I've, done some things down the road on these steps, like John was talking about, that give us that relief, but all of a sudden put us in a different position of being useful to others. Because I was always, covering up my tracks, but it was always about serving me. But I always justified those actions, and it never was enough, and it never was the right kind. I never found satisfaction in that way of life. But it's funny, when I get with another alcoholic and we're reading this book, and this book ties us together in a way that our common peril, common solution, that happens. The thread of God is weaved all in there, and I could feel that power greater than myself, because that's what tapped me in here. And got me kind of like, it's what set the hook, because I needed something powerful. Don't give me that weak stuff. Don't water down my booze. I want it, I want the undiluted version of what this power is going to be. And I don't know how to get that without you. I can't do this by myself. If I could just sit at home, pray, and think my way into a better life, I wouldn't drive to freaking Norfolk to do this. I'd be like, yeah, sorry, Amy. I've got better things to do. I've got it figured out. I'll let you guys handle the rest. You guys figure it out. No, I'm here because this is what helps me. I mean, if it helps somebody, great, but this act is what ties me to something bigger than me. Because left to my own devices, I am powerless, and I need this. I need you. I need everything that's going on in these rooms, in these steps, in this book, to keep me right-sized, to keep me upright, to keep me from drifting backwards on the down escalator. And I'm grateful to be able to be willing on a consistent basis, because I'll tell you what, I didn't always have that willingness. My point of view had to change. I can't graft a new idea onto a closed mind. If I think I can get away with doing half measures, or if I think I don't need to do these things, I'm unwilling, and my mind is closed shut. And I'll tell you, I've had to have the pain of another drink. I've had to have the pain of another, washed up, emotionally empty, disappointment, to wake me up again, to make me willing, and to have that point of view. Like, I'm not willing to sit on the sidelines and not do these things and wait for, things to go up in flames. in order for me to start getting connected to you in a way that, you showed me how, and I'll pass.
Thank you. I'm going to read the last reading and then I'll give each of you 2 minutes to close it up. Page 55. Actually, we're fooling ourselves, for deep down in every man, woman, and child is a fundamental idea of God. It may be obscured for calamity, by pomp, by worship, or other things, but in some form or another, it is there, for faith in a power greater than ourselves and a miraculous demonstrations of that power in human lives. Our facts are as old as man himself. We can only clear the ground a bit. If our testimony helps sweep away prejudice, enables you to think honestly, encourages you to search diligently within yourself, then, if you wish, you can join us on the broad highway. With this attitude, you cannot fail. The consciousness of your belief is sure to come to you. John.
I don't think, again, this is for me, this has been an experiential program, right? So for a guy like me, I can't read this book by myself and it just makes sense. I've got to hear how it works with my sponsor's life or what his experience was going through it with his sponsor. I'll be danged if, I think there is a fundamental idea of God, whether that's, nature or the guy with the beard or God, whatever it is, like a power greater than ourselves. I think it was always there. And I was kind of blocking it out because it was scary. I don't understand it. I can't touch it. I can't feel it. Therefore, I'm just gonna cancel it. And it really is having the faith in something that I can't see or touch, which is what was in that last sentence of the first paragraph. It's huge, but it works. And that fear of having that faith gets easier and easier into like, I got to see the evidence, the whole light switch thing, the landing on the moon thing. I don't need those things anymore because the results, they're there. I mean, I'm a guy that somehow didn't die a fiery car crash death, like, and know plenty of people that did. Like, I don't understand why. And I mean, there was no way I could have believed that anybody could say anything to me or I could read something and do simple actions in a church of all places, right? I've been in more church basements than I ever thought I would be in, And it freaking works, just that faith. And it's easier to get the faith the longer I do it. And quite frankly, the more consistent I am with these practices. I'll give Justin an extra minute. It's his birthday, by the way. Not only did he drive, it's his birthday.
Thanks.
I had to tell you.
Yeah. I turned 55 today, and I was telling John when we were getting in the car to leave, I was like, I wouldn't be alive or in good health, if it wasn't for this stuff that we do in here. I wanted what I saw happening in the lives of the folks that were on fire, and they were sharing about how they felt their lives had been changed by something that I couldn't, quite grasp, but it was put to me cl clearly that this power loves me. And I didn't know if I wanted to. I mean, I guess I was willing to believe that. I wanted to believe that because, like John shared, we probably, I know I'm doing better than I deserve. If I look at the scoreboard and I look at the things that I did and the things that I put myself through and the things that I did do and didn't do, if I'd have gotten what I deserved, I wouldn't be here today. And that's a fact. Today I look at, what we get just by being, in this, I guess it's being open-minded enough to accept an idea. I mean, how hard is that? to an accept to for me to just accept an idea and allow that to be, the precept that allows me to come in and take some actions that, well, it's not even like I don't get to see the results. All I have to do is go to a meeting, and if you guys are talking about steps, God, sponsorship, service work, and prayers, you're sharing the solution that's going to lead me to be in touch with that power greater than myself. And if I'm willing to kind of fall in line and do a couple of those things that you guys are doing, which makes it pretty easy because, I'm along to go along to get along with you guys, I'm going to have an experience whether I like it or not. I'm going to get sober whether I like it or not. I'm going to recoil from it from like a hot flame. I'm just going to be like, wow, you know what? I don't want to go back to that life. Why would I ever consider that? But there was a time when it was hard for me to go a week without drinking because I'm like, oh, what time is the meeting? I can't wait till I get there because I was calling my first sponsor, like, I don't think I'm going to make it till 7 p.m. And he's like, get extra change of clothes. You'll stay the night over at my place if you need to. We're going to go to the meeting. And he'd hold me hostage for the night. Because I needed to be held hostage, because I just could not go a night without drinking. I mean, that was not possible for me. So to be free and here, the price that I pay to be in touch with this power greater than me that I'm definitely sold on is a blessing and it's a gift, and I'll pass.
Thank you. Let's give John and Justin a round of applause. We're going to pass around the seven tradition baskets. Every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. While contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses, seven tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It is both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also their inner group, central office, local services, district, area, and the general service office remain self-supporting. This keeps AA free of outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose, to help the alcoholic who still suffers. Our group endeavors to provide a safe meeting place for all attendees and encourages each person here to contribute to fostering a secure and welcoming environment in where our meeting can take place. Are there any AA-related announcements?
Hi, my name is Lizzie. Good evening. Every Thursday evening, you're welcome to come to the Joy of Recovery. I just want you to know this Thursday, you can come with your AA family at 8 o'clock. We'll crack open the big book and have a meeting. If you'd like to join us, and then who's up with you?
Thank you.
We'll be needs.
All right. If you were interested in joining our home group or in need of a sponsor, please hang out after the meeting. Home group members. We have literature available on the table over there. If it's a pamphlet or a flyer, please take it. If you need a book, please see me and we'll get you one. Sponsorship in AA is yours for the asking. We urge you, do not delay. If you have questions or would like additional information about sponsorship, I will be available here after we close the meeting. Please feel free to talk to me. But if you are shy, you can send an email to info@simpleactions.net, where you can also find previous recorded audio and upcoming events. Sign up. It's great. Smokers, please use the butt can provided outside. Stay well away from the church doors. All meeting audio recording and upcoming events are posted on our website. All are invited and encouraged to join us for fellowship at the meeting after the meeting that will be held at Cafe Stella down here on Colonial Ave across from Bank of America. Thanks to all participated. After the Lord's Prayer, everyone will have a chance to thank John and Justin, and let's give them a round of applause again. David has volunteered to read the last two paragraphs on page 164.
Hey everybody, I'm an alcoholic named David.
Hey David.
We don't do chips here, but maybe we could sing happy birthday to Justin. You're really bourbon, that's all. I'll do my job. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right. Great events will come to pass for you, countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
We have an amazing way of closing. Let's circle up.
Amazing.
It just wanted to be on camera.
Yeah.
All right. Who's Father?
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen.